Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Genesis chapter 21, if you'd like to join along in your Bible or in a pew Bible. Genesis 21, beginning with verse 8. Before we read, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father in heaven, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, grant us your Holy Spirit, that in the reading of your word, we might truly hear, that you would speak to us, that you would speak to our hearts so that we might learn of you, learn of your love, learn of your will, and to follow you. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Genesis 21, beginning with verse 8. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac." And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, as we continue our study of this letter. Galatians 4, beginning with verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband." Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? "Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman." So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, the Galatian Christians, the original audience of this letter that we are reading, were turning to a different gospel. They were turning to a distorted gospel. They were turning to a false gospel, a gospel different than the one that Paul preached to them, taught them when he was with them. The Galatian Christians were listening to teachers. They were listening to preachers who said that in order to be a Christian, in order to follow Jesus, in order to be right before God, you had to first follow the law, God's law. In other words, they were teaching, they were preaching that you had to first become a Jew in order to be a Christian. Well, in our passage today, Paul, the Apostle Paul, who loves these churches, who loves these people to whom he is writing, he challenges them. Look at verse 21 again. Paul writes, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law?" Well, Paul is saying this to the Galatian Christians. He's saying, so you want to be under the law. Well, have you actually read what the law says? Paul's saying, if you want to be under the law, then you should read the law. Now for Paul, as for all Jews, the word law has multiple meanings. Law certainly meant the laws that God had given Israel. The law referred to the Ten Commandments. Law referred to God-given rules and regulations. But law also had another meaning. Law also referred to the first five books of the Old Testament. Law also referred to the first five books of the Bible, the five books of Moses, the Pentateuch. Law referred to Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, the books of the Bible that contain the law, which is why Paul starts talking about Abraham. The story of Abraham is in the book of Genesis. The story of Abraham is in the law. Now, Abraham was called by God. Abraham was chosen by God. Out of all the nations, out of all the families, out of all the peoples on the earth, God called Abraham. God promised to be his God, and God promised to be the God of all of Abraham's descendants. And in fact, God promised Abraham that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky, as numerous as the sand upon the shore. But there was only one problem. Abraham had no descendants. Abraham had no children. He was an old man. He was close to 80. His wife Sarah was old. She was close to 70. She was past her childbearing years. But in spite of age, in spite of the natural limitations of the human body, God promised them a son. God promised them an heir. Now, after this promise that God made, days went by and months went by and years went by. No son. Abraham grew older. No son. Sarah grew older. No son. Now, Sarah began to grow impatient. And she knew God's promise. She knew what God had promised them, but she was not certain exactly how God was going to work that promise out. So Sarah comes up with a plan. Sarah had an Egyptian servant, an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So Sarah decides to give Hagar to Abraham as his wife. Now, already this plan doesn't sound good, does it? Now, Sarah's desire, Sarah's hope, is that she and Abraham can have a child through her servant Hagar. Now, Abraham agrees to her plan. Again, this does not sound good, does it? And Hagar does have a son, Ishmael. A son is born through their plan. A son is born through their design. A son is born through their actions. Ishmael was a son of Abraham, but he was still a servant. He was still a slave because he was the son of a slave. Now, years pass by. Abraham is almost 100 years old. Sarah is in her 90s. And suddenly, Sarah becomes pregnant. In spite of nature, in spite of the natural limitations of the human body, Sarah becomes pregnant. And she gives birth to a son, Isaac. Isaac, which means laughter. God's promise to Abraham is fulfilled. A son is born through God's plan. A son is born through God's design. A son is born through God's action. And this is a son of grace, a gift. So Isaac is a son of Abraham, but he's an heir because he's the son of a free woman. He is born free. Now, not surprisingly, strife and discord had been building between Sarah and Hagar over the years. It really wasn't a good plan. And the strife and discord comes to a climax in our Old Testament reading from Genesis 21. When Isaac is old enough to be weaned, Abraham gives a feast. Abraham gives a party. Abraham wants to celebrate. And at this party, at this feast, Ishmael, the son of Abraham, who by this time is a teenager, he laughs at Isaac. Laughs as in mocks. Laughs as in derides. Laughs as in ridicules. And Sarah was not pleased. Hagar's boy was not going to mock her child. And this was the last straw for Sarah. Here is what the furious mother declares. This is verse 9 from our passage in Genesis. Sarah says this, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be an heir with my son Isaac." Now, although Sarah's words displeased him at first, with God's approval, Abraham followed her wishes. And for those of you who don't know the rest of the story, be at peace, the Lord did take care of Hagar and Ishmael. Well, the Apostle Paul says that this story about Hagar and Sarah and Ishmael and Isaac, the story about Abraham, Paul says it's an allegory. Actually, what Paul says is that it can be interpreted allegorically. Now, the difference of those two statements may be minor, but the implications are not, and here's why. An allegory is a story with a hidden meaning. Now, typically, allegories are not real. Typically, allegories are not true. Typically, allegories did not actually happen. Think of The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. That's a classic. If you haven't read that, get that and read it. Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. But the difference is the story about Abraham is true. It's real. It happened. So Paul says it can be interpreted allegorically. Now look at verse 24 again. Verse 24, Paul writes this. "These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children from slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother." So these two women and their two sons stand for two covenants that correspond to two cities. Now, let me say that one more time, and hang in with me here. So these two women and their two sons stand for two covenants that correspond to two cities. Paul says that Hagar is Mount Sinai. Sinai is the mountain where God gave the people his law. Sinai is the mountain where God gave his people the Ten Commandments. Therefore, Hagar represents the law. She represents the old covenant under the law, a covenant of works. Now, covenant is an important Bible word. It's a central Bible word because covenant is how God relates to his people. God makes covenants with his people. And at its heart, a covenant is a relationship. It's a relationship with God. It's a relationship initiated by God. It's a relationship guaranteed by God. So the covenant of works is a covenant under the law. And the law is where you do or you don't do. It relies on your act. It relies on your will. It relies on your works. And Paul says that's Sinai. That's Hagar. And Paul says that the children of this covenant are like Ishmael. Slaves. Spiritual slaves. born of the flesh. What Paul is saying is that the end result of the law is slavery, spiritual slavery. Reliance on the law is slavery. Legalism is slavery. And he says that that is present-day Jerusalem. Jerusalem in Paul's day. Jerusalem in the first century. Jewish religion in the first century. Which is exactly what the Galatian Christians were trying to be like. Which was what the communities of faith that Paul was writing to were trying to be like. And then add Jesus to it. And Paul is telling them that in doing this, they are entering slavery. In doing this, they are sons of Hagar. In doing this, they are like Ishmael. But Paul's words are for us as well. If you are resting in what you do or don't do, if you are relying on what you do or don't do, if you think that makes you right before God, if you think that earns you God's favor, if you think that enables you to stand before God, and then you add Jesus to it, Paul says you're like Ishmael, a child of Hagar. Now, on the other hand, Paul says, Sarah represents another covenant. Sarah represents a new covenant. A covenant of grace, a covenant made by Jesus Christ, a covenant given through Jesus Christ, where it's not what you do or don't do, it's what God has done for you in Jesus. It's what God has promised you in Jesus. For in Jesus Christ, God has come to you. God has sought you out so that you might know Him. So that you might know His heart, so that you might be in relationship with Him. And Jesus Christ suffered for you and died for you so that you might be free, not in bondage, not in spiritual chains, but free, free from sin and free from death, with the promise that you are His and you will be with Him forever in the New Jerusalem. The Jerusalem above, the heavenly city where Jesus is now, alive and reigning right now. So Paul says the Jerusalem above, that's Sarah. And the children of this covenant, the covenant of grace, the children of this city, the New Jerusalem, are like Isaac. Children of promise, born of the Spirit, born free. Now, the question that Paul has for the Galatians and the question that Paul has for you is this: who is your mama? Who is your mama? For the Galatians and for the teachers and the preachers who were there, they would have uplifted the fact that Abraham was their father, that they were descendants of Abraham. And Paul says, great, great. Abraham's your daddy. That's great. Abraham had two sons. One was a slave and one was free. The question really is, who is your mama? If Abraham's your daddy, then who is your mama? Is it Hagar? Is it Sarah? Now the question is also for you. How about you? Who is your mama? Is it Hagar? Or is it Sarah? Are you a child of Hagar or are you a child of Sarah? Are you in slavery? Are you in spiritual bondage? Are you in bondage to the law? To your own law? To relying on yourself? Are you like Ishmael? Or are you free? Are you a child of the promise? Are you a child of grace? A status only given through Jesus Christ? Only through the Son of God who invites you into the covenant of grace by faith in Him, relying on Him and trusting in Him and believing in Him. Paul's saying that through Jesus Christ, you're like Isaac, a free son, a free daughter, an heir. That's the gospel. Again, Paul preaches to us the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the good news that the church proclaims, freedom in Jesus, and it is also what Paul is describing is also the church. The church is made of children of Sarah, those who belong to Jerusalem above, those who are in the covenant of grace, those who are free children of the Father by faith. Paul is saying this, there's no place for legalism in the church. No place for legalism in the church. Paul is saying there is no need for spiritual slavery in the church. And to show this, he quotes our passage from Genesis. Paul quotes the furious words of Sarah. In verse 30, Paul writes, "Cast out the slave woman and her son out of the church and out of your hearts. In Jesus Christ, you are free. Live free. As an heir of the Father, live free for Jesus Christ, who has made you a child of the promise and a child of grace." Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that through your Son, we are yours. Your children, free and heirs. Father, we pray that you would help us to turn away from spiritual bondage. We pray that you would help us to turn away from legalism. We pray that you would help us to live as free sons and daughters. Sons and daughters who are just like Isaac. We pray that you would help us to live like those who belong to New Jerusalem, Jerusalem above, where Jesus is. Father, we pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.